Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Six people were killed and more than 40 other hospitalized after a series of terror attacks struck and in and around a London bridge. And joining us live from London is ABC News' Tom Rivers. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning. Yeah, I just got back from Manchester, back here into London. And yes, the city is, as you can imagine, it's normally a sleepy Sunday morning. It is not. It is a city, again, in shock, dealing with yet another outrage, this one a little bit more complicated, beginning with, as you know, the vehicle attack that we've now become somewhat familiar with, and then an horrendous attack using knives just on the south side of the bridge. And as you say, six people known to have perished, and a handful are in critical condition among about 48 that are being treated at five London hospitals as we speak.
At this point, do we know anything about the attackers? Is it ISIS-related, ISIS-inspired? Do we know anything at this point, Tom?
No, we don't. So, you know, we can speculate. You know, a lot of these things in the past have been homegrown. People that have, if you will, aspired to the cause of, in this case, ISIS, probably. But again, we don't know. That stuff will come out, but we're not there yet.
Tom, Roger Batterson in the newsroom. There's supposed to be a high-level government security meeting later on today. What details do we have on that?
We just know that, yeah, these things, for them to have what's called a COBRA meeting, basically stands for Cabinet Office Briefing Room A. And what they do, they take the principals in the cabinet that have some kind of a security dimension. They have the top security and police thrown into the same room. They do an assessment. They may, in this case, raise the threat level. They will then assess if there's any other people that may be involved in this particular cell, if you want to call it that. And in essence, they will find guidance for London to progress in the coming days. It's often followed up by other meetings, either later in the day or certainly tomorrow, et cetera. So it happens also during the last 5 days of a general election campaign. We are right in the very heart of it. So very, very strange times indeed. You've got the political dimension, you've got the terror, and you've got the shock thrown in as well.
Well, Tom, you got, the third attack in 4 months in the UK, and as you said, the election is happening on Thursday. Do you think voters feel the government has failed to keep them safe at this point?
That's a good question. It raises the issue. What can you do? You cannot have 100% security. You cannot follow everybody that's been on the radar. Having said that, not only here but on the continent, and we don't know the background of these three individuals. But if we look at, for instance, the Manchester attack nearly 2 weeks ago, that individual certainly was on the radar 5 years ago. If you look at the Berlin truck attacker, he was on the radar there. If you look at some of the 2015 Paris attackers, at some stage they were on the radar. So the batting average is pretty lousy.
Yeah.
And I think that it requires saying, look, we understand everybody is human. You can't follow everybody. We don't have the resources to do that. But how come, you know, if these people, you know, were deemed to be not very dangerous, they turn out to be so. Maybe the measure, maybe the way they look at people needs to be reexamined in light of some pretty horrific attacks over here.
Now, they're supposed to have another concert there, a fundraising concert coming up. Ariana Grande again. I forgot exactly where they're supposed to have it, but I believe it's on London soil. What have you heard about the plans for that? Is it going to be canceled now after this latest attack? What's the word on that?
Yeah, at this stage, and I left before dawn from Manchester. I was outside of the cricket grounds there. I was supposed to cover that today. We think that it's going to go ahead. But again, these are very, very unusual times. And you're absolutely right. Ariana Grande, it was supposed to be an uplifting concert to show that there's strength in unity, strength in diversity. Those themes may still come out, but it's being now foreshadowed by yet another attack 220 miles to the south here in London. And it's going to be tough to get through that concert. And, you know, if you can, if people out there, yes, donate. Please donate, because there's 22 people that were killed up in Manchester, many other people there still being treated in area hospitals up there.
One other thing, and we kind of talked about, Dave and I talked about a little earlier, right before you came on. These are happening in large population areas. Mm-hmm. What is the sense you get, if you've been able to get, in the outlying areas of England, the smaller communities, what is the feeling from people there? Obviously, many have relatives in the larger cities, but what do we hear from around there?
You know, the general feeling is, if you're out in the country, you're somewhat isolated and you're insulated from all of this. You know, now there could be an attack tomorrow in some place that's not really on the map, so to speak, and then that'll take that theory and throw it away. But you do feel that it is a world away when you're in a small rural community. Having looked at a number of these things, though, you know, yes, there's a beefed up security presence, and it's welcome in major transportation hubs, landmarks, touristy type places, et cetera, and that's good. I think back to Nice, and they really beefed up the promenade after that truck attack. But you get three blocks away, and it's as thin as the security was, you know, before the attack. And, you know, yeah, you could strike in an urban area, but you could strike a little bit off of the heavily patrolled areas and still get on the news, if you want to look at it that way. So, you know, you can't be everywhere. And people, and it's kind of a cliche, but people have to remain vigilant. You see something weird, get yourself out of that area. You're doing yourself one heck of a favor.
Not only that, but in this age of the terror attacks becoming more frequent, I'm noting that Facebook has activated a safety check feature so friends, family, and followers know you're okay. Pretty impactful.
Yeah, exactly. It's good. It's out there. You know, it's not so much the people in town. You know, people checking. I know my youngest daughter was in central London last night when this happened. I was up in Manchester. What do? I immediately get on Facebook Messenger. Yep, she was fine. She and her boyfriend made it home like an hour before. But, you know, that do a lot of people do that? You bet they do that.
Sure.
And they want to make sure their loved ones are out of harm's way.
Well, Tom, stay safe out there, and thank you.
As so often in such serious situations, the police responded with great courage and great speed. Armed officers from the Metropolitan Police and the City of London Police arrived at Borough Market within moments and shot and killed the three suspects. The terrorists were confronted and shot by armed officers within 8 minutes of the police receiving the first emergency call. Seven people have died as a result of the attack, in addition to the three suspects shot dead by the police. 48 people are being treated in several hospitals across London. Many have life-threatening conditions. On behalf of the people of London and on behalf of the whole country, I want to thank and pay tribute to the professionalism and bravery of the police and the emergency services, and the courage of members of the public who defended themselves and others from the attackers. And our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and with their friends, families, and loved ones. This is, as we all know, the third terrorist attack Britain has experienced in the last 3 months. In March, a similar attack took place just around the corner on Westminster Bridge. 2 weeks ago, the Manchester Arena was attacked by a suicide bomber. And now London has been struck once more. And at the same time, the security and intelligence agencies and police have disrupted five credible plots since the Westminster attack in March. In terms of their planning and execution, the recent attacks are not connected. But we believe we are experiencing a new trend in the threat we face, as terrorism breeds terrorism, and perpetrators are inspired to attack, not only on the basis of carefully constructed plots after years of planning and training, and not even as lone attackers radicalized online, but by copying one another and often using the crudest of means of attack. We cannot and must not pretend that things can continue as they are. Things need to change, and they need to change in four important ways. First, while the recent attacks are not connected by common networks, they are connected in one important sense. They are bound together by the single evil ideology of Islamist extremism that preaches hatred, sows division, and promotes sectarianism. It is an ideology that claims our Western values of freedom, democracy, and human rights are incompatible with the religion of Islam. It is an ideology that is a perversion of Islam and a perversion of the truth. Defeating this ideology is one of the great challenges of our time, but it cannot be defeated through military intervention alone. It will not be defeated through the maintenance of a permanent defensive counter-terrorism operation, however skillful its leaders and practitioners. It will only be defeated when we turn people's minds away from this violence and make them understand that our values, pluralistic British values, are superior to anything offered by the preachers and supporters of hate. Second, we cannot allow this ideology the safe space it needs to breed. Yet that is precisely what the internet and the big companies that provide internet-based services provide. We need to work with allied democratic governments to reach international agreements that regulate cyberspace to prevent the spread of extremist and terrorism planning. And we need to do everything we can at home to reduce the risks of extremism online. Third, while we need to deprive the extremists of their safe spaces online, we must not forget about the safe spaces that continue to exist in the real world. Yes, that means taking military action to destroy ISIS in Iraq and Syria, but it also means taking action here at home. While we have made significant progress in recent years, there is, to be frank, far too much tolerance of extremism in our country. So we need to become far more robust in identifying it and stamping it out across the public sector and across society. That will require some difficult and often embarrassing conversations. But the whole of our country needs to come together to take on this extremism. And we need to live our lives not in a series of separated, segregated communities, but as one truly united kingdom. Fourth, we have a robust counter-terrorism strategy that has proved successful over many years. But as the nature of the threat we face becomes more complex, more fragmented, more hidden, especially online, the strategy needs to keep up. So in light of what we are learning about the changing threat, we need to review Britain's counter-terrorism strategy to make sure the police and security services have all the powers they need. And if we need to increase the length of custodial sentences for terrorism-related offences, even apparently less serious offences, that is what we will do.